This fall, you're going to vote on a $50 billion plan to expand light rail north to Everett, south to Tacoma, and across Lake Washington to the east side. After those lines are built, we'll see more light rail from Ballard to downtown. Is that the right order? Sound Transit board member Claudia Balducci represents Bellevue and Kirkland and much of the east side of the King County Council. She's also the former mayor of Bellevue.
Like many places, Bellevue's got a big and growing urban center, and many of our cities do outside of Seattle, and growing populations. We have great employers that people go to and from every day, like Google, like a little company on the east side called Microsoft, as we just heard this week, REI moving to the east side. We also know that when we look at just the bridges, the commute east-west is the same in both directions. It's not mostly people going to Seattle in the morning and coming home at night. It's people going wherever they have to go, and a lot of people are going east and west. A lot of people are going north and south. These lines are critical to connect all those places.
Some critics of this draft plan have said Seattle should be served better first because it's got the most riders. For example, the line from downtown to Ballard, where ridership's expected to be huge, that's not going to happen until 2038 after these other extensions. What's your response to the criticism?
So speaking specifically to the Ballard line, one of the issues that we have just strictly of building the line is that to add this amount of new train capacity in Seattle requires a second tunnel under downtown. It's a huge project. It takes a long time to plan and build. I will not invoke the other tunneling project lest it cause some kind of bad mojo, but it takes longer, and that's part of the reason why you see Ballard being so far out. Financing is also a big part of the reason why you see the projects having to lay out in order the way they do.
Everett is going to wait 25 years for a light rail line. Congressman Rick Larson said, there may be a lot of head scratching. I'm not scratching my head. I'm banging it against the wall, end of quote. What do you think about that long timeline?
Well, I feel a little bad for the congressman. I hope he's not harming himself. When you think back to where we started this, we started with a vote in this region in 1968. If that vote had gone yes, or if the one in 1970 had gone yes, we would be seeing those lines coming online right about now. We'd be done. We'd be finishing up. But we're starting today. You can only do so much. It's a $50 billion package with some revenue streams that are going to be a real lift. How big would those have to be in order to bring forward the kind of timelines that people want to see? I think heavier than you could do. That said, I mean, I have a 10-year-old, and everybody does the count. I do the count, you know, what year in college will he be in, what year in grad school. But if I don't start building it now, he'll never get to ride it. So that's why I think it's important to pass this measure, even with the timelines.
Let's talk about that price tag. As you said, $50 billion. What do you say to assuage somebody with sticker shock right now? We're committing ourselves for a long time to a lot of money.
I think that the ongoing success and livability in this region is dependent on us building this system. Anybody who's been anywhere else, I grew up as a child in New York City, and anybody who's been anywhere else knows that a really, really successful city, a really successful region has got tremendous traffic. They all do. But to keep it livable and to keep it attracting the kind of jobs and employers that we want to see, you need to have a mass transit system. We don't really have one, and this is our chance to build it. It would have been a lot cheaper, again, in the 60s or the 70s when the federal government was funding 90% of the lines at that time. Famously, our federal money went to Atlanta. So it doesn't get cheaper. And if we don't build it now, we'll be faced with building it at some point in the future when it's even more expensive or not at all. And I think that that would be extremely damaging to our long-term success as a region.
Talking with King County Council member Claudia Balducci, member of the Sound Transit Board, about extending light rail. I used to live in Los Angeles, and I sort of knew there was a little subway there, but it's just not really in the consciousness. What makes you think a modern, young, Western city is ever really going to embrace subway and rail like they do in the East?
I have to say, I would have had a much harder time answering that question a couple of weeks ago before we opened the U-Link line, but I see the way people are embracing it here, the way people have changed their rides around. I'm reading and hearing stories of folks who have just kind of changed the way they travel around in just a few days because they have this option.
But those are people in the city of Seattle. Sure. What about suburban? And I know Bellevue is a city, but you know, what about right. the suburban residents, will they, you know, there's just such an entrenched culture here. This, our cities were built in an age of the car.
All of those folks, me included, when we drive in during rush hour from Bellevue or wherever to our jobs, wherever, we're sitting in traffic, sometimes crippling traffic. 405 is an incredible logjam every day. People are spending hours a week in traffic. I think if you give folks an opportunity to get out of that traffic, they will take it. But I also recognize that there are people who have jobs or trips that aren't well served by transit and possibly never will be well served by transit. So we want the whole system to work together. For those who can ride, that's one less car on the streets. For those who can't, that's a little more room for them to move around if they have to drive.
What's your pitch to a persuadable no vote who's listening to you?
Well, I would hope that that person really cares about the community and the region the way I do, and that they want it to be successful. They want the next generation of people to have great jobs. They want us to continue to be the dynamic, exciting place that we are. And they want to preserve the environment. They want to reduce greenhouse gases. They want to have options to get around that don't involve sitting in traffic for hours every day. And I would say to them, you know, part of our responsibility as members, as citizens and members of a community, is to do what it takes for the future. And I would urge them to join me in doing that here by supporting us building out finally the mass transit network that we've needed here for decades.
Sound Transit board member and King County Council member Claudia Balducci. For another perspective on the massive light rail plan coming to your ballot this fall, we call Jonathan Hopkins, political director of the nonprofit group Seattle Subway, which advocates for expanding mass transit options in Seattle. Hopkins told me that everyone in the region deserves good transit, but he thinks we need to build a line from Ballard to downtown first.
This line is going to haul the population of Bellevue every single day of the week. 114,000 to 145,000 people is the estimated ridership. That's higher than any line west of Chicago, north of San Francisco. This one line will haul as many riders as the entire Portland MAX system, the light rail system down there, on just this 7.5, 7-mile line. So the things that we shouldn't do is wait to get that many cars off the road. We should do it as soon as we can.
Jonathan, you're not just asking for a line to Ballard faster. You've got a problem with how the line is being laid out. What's the issue?
Well, right now, there's going to be a tunnel through downtown, and that tunnel goes to the Lower Queen Anne area. But once you get north of the Mercer 15th Avenue intersection, the train is in and along the roadway. And that means that we would be building this really high usage line the same way we built the Rainier Valley. My experience with the Rainier Valley is getting notices every week or two that the tracks are shut down and trains are delayed because the train hit a truck or somebody walked in front of the train or there's some other blockage on the tracks. We can't do that. The train should not have intersections with cars. And if we can remove that, then we end up with the type of high-quality line that this region desires, deserves, and requires to function.
Well, so far, Seattle's gotten all the light rail service. Couldn't you argue that suburban communities ought to be served next before another line for Seattle?
So I think that all communities need to get benefits from the transportation system. Seattle, when this whole ST3 package is finished, Seattle, the largest city in the region, will have about 30% of the stations and about 30% of the light rail tracks. So the suburbs are getting light rail service. Because they're paying for it, too, and they deserve to service. And the suburbs are getting their lines faster in many cases. The first two lines finished are Federal Way and Redmond. And then the next batch of lines under the current plan are Tacoma and going north of Linwood that comes in the same time as West Seattle. So we do think it's equitable in the sense of, you know, different areas are getting what they pay for, and they're getting it as fast as Sound Transit believes they can produce it. But this line has just astonishing ridership, and it needs to be treated like it does.
Let's say the plan does change, and a light rail to Ballard gets more priority. How does life change in Seattle?
Bill, have you had a chance to ride on light rail from Capitol Hill to UW?
Not yet.
Okay. It's pretty life-changing. It's not just Seattle. It's for the whole region that places that we thought were far apart or that took too long in slogging traffic suddenly become close. Our neighborhoods become close. Our neighbors become close. I was at Capitol Hill Station and somebody came up to me and said, you guys, because I'm with Seattle Subway, you guys need to talk about how this same saves friendships. And they talked about their friend in Ballard who does not have their own transportation means, and so they sometimes go on transit or sometimes drive to pick her up. And it's a 45-minute slog. On these systems, it would be 8 to 12 minutes or 17 minutes, depending on where they're going from. And the sense of awe that people have when they go into a high-quality rail system, and we saw it in Capitol Hill and UW, people are looking up almost like children in awe and wonderment of like, okay, we're doing big city things now. Our neighborhoods are close. We can do more in our communities, whether we live in Issaquah and want to do something in Ballard or whether we're just trying to get from Ballard to Beacon Hill. The bottom line is life matters, and the life with your families and doing your passions and making a living are all important to people. They shouldn't have to spend more time doing it because they're just stuck in traffic.
If this plan does not change, goes on the ballot as is, yes vote or no vote?
I think it's important that we move forward, but I do expect that there's going to be a lot of folks saying this really needs to happen faster. And, you know, being basically three times the size of any other line ridership in the entire package, it should happen as soon as it can.
Jonathan Hopkins there, not coming out yet, yes or no, political director for the nonprofit group Seattle Subway, advocating for more mass transit options in Seattle. And you also heard from King County Council member Claudio Balducci, who's also a member of the Sound Transit Board. We are tweeting out a link right now to the Sound Transit 3 draft plan. It's an interactive map. Maybe it'll help you make your decision. The Sound Transit Board adopts a final plan this June, and then you're going to vote on it in November.